Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we ask that you would open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word, so that we may more perfectly love you. Amen. Next week, we celebrate Thanksgiving. In order to help us think more clearly about what that might mean for us and how we might celebrate more authentically, more Christianly, I thought we might begin with the theme of Thanksgiving today. Then we could spend the coming week gathering our thoughts regarding what Thanksgiving might mean for us then. So often, when we think or consider Thanksgiving, we think of this in very material ways. I'm not sure about you, but for me, it's always thanking God for where I am. I am in a country that is characterized mostly by peace, peace from wars and conflict. I'm living in a nice part of the country where mostly we're ruled by law and order. We experience safety, at least overtly. Sometimes I wonder what happens in our homes. But then, of course, we also are gifted with so many things. We have provisions of enough food. We have shelter. We have medicines of all kinds. We are privileged to be usually able to afford most things because of our Medicare system. We have employment if we want it. Many of us have good friends, and the list goes on. But seldom do we think of what precedes the gratitude for stuff. Today's text, I think, helps us with this issue. And so I'd like to just kind of read with you this story again. Going to verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, and Betty gave us the kind of sinner many people think she was, were not really told, but it was obvious to her that her reputation, to everyone, that her reputation had really gone before her. And this notion of being in the Pharisee's house was a significant honor for both the Pharisee and for Jesus. At least it was expected to be an honor for Jesus, because he was the honored guest. Usually this was accompanied by the washing of feet, a kind of symbolic or ritual practice, which would essentially prepare someone to meet the important people of the home. The guest was their preeminent visitor, their preeminent responsibility. They were to show symbolically their welcome, and they were then to anoint this person with oil. Now, the Pharisees were a highly respected group of people. They were politically powerful. They originated during the time of the exile in Babylon. And these were a people who felt that somehow God was punishing them for not living righteously enough. And so therefore, this was a movement to get back to purity. Purity of life, purity of motive, of practice that was devout and regular. And for them now, Jesus was considered a bit of a rising star. He had a reputation. He was known all over the Northlands in Galilee. And now here, closer to Jerusalem, he was being sought out. This was a kind of get-to-know-you session. Introduce you to my friends session. Let's make common cause, and maybe we can get some things done. Perhaps this is what it'll take for us to finally get rid of those hated Romans and become the chosen people we were always meant to be. Then there's this intrusive woman. She was not invited. Generally speaking, homes like there were in those days are not like homes for us now. There was no door that was locked against the street, people coming in. Often as not, those doors were open. And so this woman, having heard where Jesus was, comes in and just walks in because he's there. She appears at the table, uninvited. And having braved all of these men, remember, she's the only woman. Having braved all of these men, she stands there not knowing what next to do. And she starts weeping because perhaps the moment overwhelmed her, but also here it was, finally. This chance to meet this Jesus, who perhaps she had seen at one point, who had given her not just that look of scorn, but smiled at her and welcomed her and accepted her for who she was, not just for someone who was a project. She stands at Jesus' feet, overcome with guilt, but perhaps relief, gratitude, and finally in the moment of opportunity. She'd obviously prepared. She had brought some perfume with her. But perhaps her strength of character had now softened to the point where she could only weep. And in an embarrassed way, dropping tears all over his feet, she just stoops down quickly to start wiping them because she perhaps had sullied him. And she uses her hair because that's immediately what's at hand. And then, having done that, does what she intended to do all along, and that is to anoint him with the oil that was in her little jar. She had broken several taboos. Doesn't say she was married, but here she was, present in a respectable home. She is someone who was not related or married or by family part of this household. She nevertheless touches Jesus. And of course, she was a woman whose reputation was one of scandal and sin. One needs to recognize here that the time was very fraught for women. Fraught in every way. They had no power. The only power they had was through their male representative, whether it be a husband, whether it be a father, whether it be an older brother. And here she is. Suddenly she's completely vulnerable. Jesus nevertheless allows her to wipe and wash his feet and then to anoint him with oil. Then we read that the Pharisee is muttering to himself as if he has no one else to talk to, you know, like, I can't believe Jesus. I don't know what he's doing. Doesn't he know who this woman is? Obviously, he's not a great person. Otherwise, he'd know. A prophet would know. She has no business here. Jesus has an insight into human character. So here then he tells the story of this moneylender. A moneylender who had lent money to two people. If you read the Greek, it's the first person borrows money that is equivalent to 5 years, or I should say 1.5 years' salaries or payments. The second one is to 50 days of payments. Neither one could afford it to pay that money back. But Jesus asked, who in your view would have appreciated being forgiven more? The one with a great big debt or the one with a smaller debt? My thought would be, having reflected on this, is that they both couldn't pay. They both were liable for some kind of court proceedings and perhaps the workhouse, if you will. But the Pharisee says, well, the one who is obviously forgiven more, because he might have to spend longer there. Then Jesus says, you know, on your own terms, then here we go. This woman has sinned much in your view, and you have ignored me completely. And yet she has come here and done all the things that you were supposed to do, that you have failed to do. And now, of course, I forgive her. And you say, what? What is that all about? This morning, I want to highlight the difference between the responses of the woman who anointed Jesus' feet and the Pharisee who invited Jesus as a guest. The Pharisee invited Jesus to investigate his ideas and his own worthiness. That's why he brought Jesus to him. The woman came to Jesus because of his forgiveness to her, because of his humanity directed to her, and because of his love for her. The Pharisee invited Jesus to see if Jesus was worthy of his friendship and his particular power. The woman came to Jesus because he had shown her she was worthy of God's love. The Pharisee invites only the worthy people. Jesus invites everyone. The Pharisee scorns the woman because of her reputation and fallenness. Jesus forgives the woman because of her heart. This story happens relatively early in the Gospel of Luke. In the first few chapters of Luke's Gospel, we are introduced to the man who preaches not better or more, who preaches not better or more scrupulously observant of the Torah, but the one who preaches repentance. And then in Jesus, we see the one who calls people to follow him because he demonstrates the love of God to them. Eugene Peterson, in his book, The Jesus Way, writes, and here's an extended quote, Jesus is our way to God, but at the same time, Jesus is God's way to us. God comes to us in Jesus, we come to God in Jesus. It is the same way, the Jesus way. Jesus comes to us in Jesus speaking the words of salvation, healing our infirmities, promising the Holy Spirit, teaching us how to live in the kingdom of God. It is in and through this same Jesus that we pray to and believe, hear, and obey, love, and praise God. Jesus is the way God comes to us. Jesus is the way we come to God. The way up and the way down is the same way. And that's a quote from the ancient Greek philosopher Heraclitus. Let me add just a couple of more, I think, very appropriate words from Eugene Peterson. Jesus is the way of salvation. We follow his way. Jesus is the way of eternal life. We follow his way. The way Jesus does it, we do it. Jesus is the way we come to God. Period. End of discussion. The great American activist and Roman Catholic nun, Dorothy Day, in her autobiography quoted St. Catherine, who said, "All the way to heaven is heaven, because Jesus had said, I am the way." And so this morning I want to leave you with the thought that the difference between the penitent woman and the Pharisee is how they saw Jesus. The Pharisee saw in Jesus a potentially powerful ally. The woman saw in Jesus the face of the living God. And so as we go into Thanksgiving next week, I would urge you to think not so much in terms of being thankful for what you have. In the end, that isn't the really important thing, even though it may be the thing that comes mostly to mind. Rather, it is who you are thanking. Who has given you so that you may give to others? Who has forgiven you so that you may forgive others? Who has offered you eternal life so you can extend life to others? In acknowledging our God for who he is and for what he has done for us in Christ, we can express our gratitude to God by offering the gifts that God has given us back to him, and for the spread and increasing growth of God's reign here on earth. Amen.